Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, suddenly everyone is talking about them and millions of people are taking them. But here is what nobody is telling you. What happens when they stop working? What happens when the weight comes back? And what is actually coming next? Today's guest is a board-certified physician and hospitalist who lives at the frontier of metabolic medicine. He is here to cut through the hype and headlines and the internet noise and tell us the truth about weight, metabolism, aging, and where medicine is generally headed. If you have ever felt confused, frustrated, or let down by your own body, this is the conversation you have been waiting for. My guest today brings something rare to this conversation, real frontline medical credibility. Dr. Brandon Howard is a board-certified internist, and he is an active hospitalist at the Holy Name Medical Center here in New Jersey. And he sees patients in private practice as well. He is also the co-founder and chief medical officer of Meno. This is where his work focuses on metabolic health and regenerative medicine, with a strong emphasis on responsible, evidence-based, physician-led care. He speaks nationally on metabolic medicine, longevity, and recovery. Dr. Howard, welcome to the show.
Well, that's quite an introduction. Thank you, Stacey. It's nice to, very nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Let's start with what so many people are living right now and blaming themselves for. Millions of people started with a GLP-1 medication. They saw real results and then a wall. The progress stopped, or the weight just came back the moment they stopped taking it. Now, Dr. Howard, what is actually happening in the body when that occurs?
Well, I think your body is very good, does a very good job of adapting to things, but it also remembers who it is, and those set points are in place, and they've been put there over decades of training, poor eating habits, poor lifestyle, and so these things catch up to you. And so Ozempic was and liraglutide was the first one, Victoza. I was introduced to that over 20 years ago. I used that to treat patients with schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. They developed metabolic disease as a result of the medications they were taking, increasing their appetites. And so they would end up getting metabolic disease and diabetes from these things. And Victoza was the first medication that came along before semaglutide. And really, it's also a GLP-1. And it was actually shown to be effective at helping people lose weight. There's a couple of issues with those medications. One is that they reach you can reach a plateau with these medications, and patients find themselves taking the maximum amount of medication, and they don't lose weight anymore. And the problem is that they haven't done enough to overcome their metabolic issues yet. And then if they come off the medication, their lifestyle, their set points reset, remind them who they are, and they go right back to their same eating habits and lifestyle, prob issues that got them there in the first place, and they start gaining the weight back. Mounjaro came out, and that was the answer to that problem, where it taps on two different receptors, the GLP receptor as well as the GIP receptor, and that helps to modify your metabolism so that there's actually, more weight loss with that medication than there was with semaglutide. So that moved the needle a little bit more. But the metabolism, again, it finds a way to overcome obstacles, and those set points are very strong. So we have a lot of patients come to us that are on maximum dose of tirzepatide now, and now they're what do I do? I've been on tirzepatide for, 18 months, and I've been on 15 milligrams, and nothing's working. I've lost some weight, but I'm just kind of stuck. And I'm like, all right, I get it, So, that brings us to today, where there's a third generation GLP that taps on three different receptors, the same two receptors, the GLP and the GIP, as well as the glucagon receptor, which is sort of everywhere in the body. And when you tap on that receptor, at least in the liver, it tells, you know, the liver sends messaging to mobilize all free fat, all fats and all sugar for energy. And that's, we like that molecule a lot because it does more to protect the muscle mass loss, the sarcopenia that elderly patients, you know, are experiencing when they lose 40 pounds on, you know, tirzepatide or semaglutide. You know, half of that weight can be muscle mass, and that can be, you know, that's not the goal. The goal is to protect muscle mass as much as possible. And the glucagon receptor really goes a long way to helping that process. And so that's the molecule that's coming down the pipeline right now. And so we're excited to be able to, you know, treat patients with these molecules to help them, you know, achieve their weight loss goals. And, you know, the studies, there's a Triumph trial that came out that shows, you know, the weight loss is more significant than even tirzepatide. So we're excited about that. And we think it gives us a new opportunity to really help patients overcome their, try to finally get there, so to speak. You know?
Yes. I love that. And I want to be really clear for everyone who is listening, because I think people carry so much shame about this. Is that a willpower failure or is it physiology?
It's mostly physiology. I mean, I can tell you a personal story.
I love that.
Okay. I was 245 pounds about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And it was right around, you know, after COVID hit and the gym closed down. And then, you know, a lot of people had to make a choice. They were going to be couch potatoes or they were going to get in better shape. So people either drank too much during that time or they actually got in the best physical shape of their life. So I decided I was going to do that. Right. So I started trying to do these triathlons. And so that was, you know, biking, running, swimming, hours a day, you know, 12 to 18 hours of working out a week, you know, and that was helpful. You know, my weight came down about 25 pounds and I was sitting around 220, but the problem with that was that I still wasn't light enough to be a good triathlete. And so I knew I needed to lose another, you know, I needed to lose another like 30 pounds. And I was working out 12 to 18 hours a week and it just wasn't coming off. Yeah. And I couldn't understand, like, how can the body be so resistant? I'm literally beating the crap out of myself and it's just not coming off. So I finally did something that doctors hate doing. I checked my own lab work. And what do I discover? I discover that my fasting glucose is 104 and my hemoglobin A1C is 5.7 and I'm pre-diabetic. And I'm sitting there looking at that going, that's insane. Like, how can I be pre-diabetic whenever I'm doing all the work? I'm doing my best to eat properly. I'm like, you know, and that's when I realized that there was a real problem. There's an underlying physiological problem. And it's called insulin resistance and it's metabolic disease. It's pre-diabetes, and pre-diabetes is not recognized by the healthcare industry as something that needs to be taken care of. But really, it's just diabetes. And it's the same as, even though your hemoglobin A1C is less than 7, you're still doing damage to end organs every day because your sugars are still too high and your cells are still not listening to the insulin your pancreas is pumping out. And so, you know, the pharmaceutical industry's response to that is, well, let's apply a bigger hammer. I'll give you more insulin. Well, that's just treating the end point. That's not treating the disease.
Right.
So these new molecules help us actually go upstream, treat the disease by tapping on some receptors that help to modulate the metabolic effect on stored fat and glucose. And so I stopped working out. I went on the third generation GLP for 2 months and I lost 20 more pounds.
Wow.
And so that's how you know how serious this problem is and how difficult it is for people to overcome it. And I have people that look like they're in great shape and they're like athletes, and you check their lab work and they have insulin resistance. They don't even know about it, you know? So everybody has, I would say a large percentage of the population is dealing with this problem. And if you don't deal with the problem today, you're going to be dealing with it later. So my recommendation, my advice to you is deal with it now, get in front of it. Let's take care of it. Let's work on preventative care so that you're not later dealing with heart failure, kidney failure, stroke, whatever it is.
Exactly.
Because that's going to be coming down the road if you don't.
I agree. Now, why does the body seem to fight back so hard against like weight loss?
I wish I fully understood it. I mean, I personally think that the etiology of the disease is related to the food we eat, the water we drink, the injections we get, the all the stuff that filters through our body. Your body's a giant filter. I mean, it filters everything, you know, filters out light, it filters air, filters water, food, everything that we put through it. And unfortunately, some of the things that go through it are toxic to our system, and they interrupt those signaling pathways and prevent proper cellular signaling. And that's really what peptide therapy is all about. It's about enhancing cellular communication. I think the body's natural response is homeostasis. You know, it wants to stay where it's stable. You know, it doesn't really like being pushed this too far to the right, too far to the left. You know, it's like, it always tends to kind of come back to wherever it's comfortable. And those are the set points we're talking about, you know, that are basically programmed. And once those things get programmed in place, they're very difficult to change. I mean, your brain, as you age, becomes less and less able to make changes, becomes less plastic. You know, there's studies that show, you know, functional MRIs on kids' brains that show how flexible the brain is, you know, and how it can change giving different stimulus. And that doesn't happen as well whenever you get, you know, my age, for example, you know, a brain doesn't want to do anything, you know, it's just wants to sit there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there are ways what we're finding is that the signaling receptors that the cells all carry are still there.
Right.
They're just not being utilized properly, or we don't have enough of those signals, as we age, like we did when we were 20.
Right.
And if we supplement those, we can still get the desired response that we're looking for.
Right. And when someone stops the medication and the weight returns, what does that tell us about like what the medication was actually doing and what it was not doing?
It's not curing anything, unfortunately. Right.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that is going to require, I think, diligent use of a medication like that, but you've got to do the work. I tell my patients all the time, you know, there's four pillars to, you know, we just had this conversation, you and I, you know, there's four pillars to like successful living. And those are foundational to any type of medical intervention that you participate in. And it's the same with peptide therapy. You've got to eat right. You've got to sleep right. You've got to hydrate properly, and you've got to do the work.
Yes.
And if you don't do those four things, then you're running the risk of not being successful.
I agree. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand in our society. You know, like we had mentioned before we started our interview, that so many people, you know, have tried GLP-1s and they tried Ozempic and they tried Mounjaro and all of them. But they still have their unhealthy living habits that they have not changed. And
so something interesting about the, I haven't heard this as much with tirzepatide, but the newer molecule, you know, the patients are telling me, you know, doctor, I don't crave sweets or I don't crave anything on this stuff. Like they smoke less. They don't have any interest in alcohol. They,
yeah.
You know, they're, they, they're working out less excessively. There, a lot of things that they used to do to excess, they seem to have like calmed down.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that in a lot of the patients that we've done this therapy with. And I think that's really fascinating. But that gives, what that does is it gives them an opportunity, right?
Yes.
It gives them an opportunity to see what it's like to live a moderate lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And then we keep hammering on them, you know, the four pillars, you know, like you've got to do all the things that we talked about. You know, you gotta fast, you gotta eat properly, you gotta get your protein, you gotta hydrate with electrolytes, you gotta do the work, you gotta get in the gym, you gotta go run, you gotta do whatever it is that you like to do that makes you feel good, you know, you gotta get that extra. Your body is a biomechanical mechanism. You know, if you don't use it, you lose it. If you don't use it, you die. You know, and that's basically what happens to you. And I see it all the time in the hospitals and nursing homes. And I tell my patients all the time, listen, you've got to get out of bed. You got to move. You got to move. If you don't move, you got a target on your back. And that bed's going to be your coffin. So you got to get up and you got to move. So that's an extreme example, but it's, you understand, you know, everybody's got to move.
Exactly.
To stay alive, right?
Oh, 100%. Circulation is major. Now, is there so much, you know, I've noticed that there is so much noise and confusion around these drugs. So let's bring some real medical clarity. You know, in plain language, what does these, you know, medications actually do in the body? You know, what is the mechanism, you know, simply put?
The GLP receptor, you know, slows gut motility, right? So you've got this natural peristalsis in your gut that sends things down the river, right? As you put things in, as part of the digestive process, it literally slows down digestion. And that is a mechanical effect. It's kind of a putting like a hard stop on, it's forcing like, to some degree, constipation and gastric bloating, which are all the signals that tell you don't eat anymore. I've had enough, you know? So things, you know, go into your stomach and they sit there for a long time and you've got all this acid and stuff and you're breathing and you get this bloated feeling and it doesn't sound very pleasant, but you try to dial in the medication so that you limit the number of side effects and you get the desired result. And that's really what you do. And that's really why physician, you know, supervision is important and helps with that process. You know, the other receptors work on your metabolism, you know, and mobilizing fat and mobilizing sugar so that your metabolism is now targeting fat and sugar instead of focusing on whatever it wants to focus on, you know, storing. You're basically shifting your metabolism from a stored state of metabolism to a burn state of metabolism. And that's what you were, that's what it was like when you were 20 years old.
Right.
And so we get back to that. And so now we flip the switch basically on your metabolism. So no longer are we eating something and your body is looking at that and going, okay, I'm going to have to store that. Whatever it is, you know, whatever's, it doesn't really matter what you put in your system because of the metabolic disease is like the lack of the body's inability to determine like the right time to burn something and the right time to store something. It just somehow thinks that you got to store things all the time. That's how the cellular signaling got messed up. And so we're flipping that switch back and allowing us to like speed up our metabolism, start burning things. And then you go and you add the other stuff. You add the proper diet, you add the workouts, you add the hydration, and then your body like becomes much more efficient at burning, at completing the burn. And your body changes and you start, you know, start looking and feeling better.
Right.
And so then, you know, you do these things for a prolonged period of time and hopefully the person like resets that set point, you know, so that they understand, they relearn how to live properly. So that whenever they come out on the other side and they want to get off the GLP finally, they're able to function at that level and maintain it.
I love that. Now, what are they generally good at now, you know, and like, where do they truly help people?
Well, it helps prevent diabetes, and diabetes is a systemic problem, and diabetes causes, it's a vascular disease. It affects every organ system in the body, affects every organ in the body, affects the tiny blood vessels in your body. It's the tiny blood vessels that feed the higher cortical areas of the most critical parts of your end organs. So, we see vascular dementia all the time in the hospital. We do a CAT scan on an elderly patient, and they're like, well, their brain is shrinking, and that's just, they've lost a bunch of that outside, that higher cortical white matter that is so critical to higher thinking and processing. And that's become sort of like, well, it's just, that's normal aging, but it's not. It's not normal aging. That's right. What's happened is your capillaries, the smallest oxygen carrying blood cells going to the most important areas of your tissue, of your organs, has been compromised. So right. you've killed off part of you is what's happened. And so that's why diabetes is so dangerous. It kills you slowly. And if it becomes really out of control and you're, insulin dependent, then you've really got a big problem, because you don't wound heal properly, because your vasculature is all screwed up. It can't get, the immune cells can't get to where it needs to go to heal, And the sugar is just toxic. That's why I tell patients also, if you really want to get it together, stop drinking.
Yeah.
Stop drinking alcohol. I said, you understand that sugar is toxic. Well, alcohol is a dense sugar, and it's the most toxic. So, but it's advertised everywhere, this whole thing about alcohol being okay, good for you in small amounts. I think that's everything in moderation, right? But what is the definition of moderation with alcohol? It's probably, for me personally, I can't drink anymore, because I drank too much in my younger life, and it got to the point where it just one drink would make me feel lousy the next day. And that means what that was telling me was that my system had just, it basically was just rejecting it at that point. Like, I can't take anymore. I can't take anymore. Enough already. Right.
Right.
And it would take me, take me 1 or 2 days to get over like a single martini with, my favorite blue cheese olives. So I gave it up, and it ended up being like, it ended up being the best thing I ever did, because it gave me time back. And that's what these molecules do. These molecules are really like, they give you time back, because they shut down the food noise. They shut down the craving noise. Like, you're not constantly looking for something to satisfy a need.
Yes.
You can start like living your life again.
Exactly.
And until people experience it, they don't really understand that.
Right.
Because that it does. There's so many more benefits to these things than people have really spoken about yet. And I think the data on that stuff will come out. And eventually I think that even cancer protocols are going to end up having them as part of the protocol, because of the reduction in inflammation. Because, what does sugar do? It feeds tumors.
Exactly.
Tumors love sugar. So, that's another case use for these things. So these things are really changing healthcare, the landscape of healthcare, dramatically, very rapidly. Before you know it, half of America is going to be on a GLP. So
exactly
for those reasons, lowers their risk, lowers their inflammation, lowers their potential for malignancy, lowers their potential for autoimmune disease. There's so many benefits.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that.
So it's very exciting.
And here is the part that people don't hear, in the headlines. What are the honest limitations? Like, what are these medications not designed to do?
They're not going to, you can overcome the medication. If you let your head get the best of you. The medications send a loud signal and shut down a lot of like noise, but I've watched people out eat GLPs, I watched people like continue with the bad lifestyles and continue to like not change their habits. And they hit a wall very quickly.
Yeah.
And so they just don't work effectively if you're not cooperating, if you're not doing the right thing for yourself. You know, they work correctly if you do those things that we talked about.
Right. Now, you've talked about muscle loss being a real conversation with rapid weight loss. Can you speak to that and why it matters so much, especially as we age?
I mean, aging patients tend to lose muscle mass every year. There's a decline in muscle mass.
Right.
Generally, unless they're really on top of it, you know. So if you're going to be on a GLP, you run the risk of losing muscle mass. So that's something that I talk to my clients about all the time. And so, you know, we try to get them to do that. So why it's really important to do the work, you know,
right.
get your protein intake. You need a lot of protein. You don't need a lot of carbohydrates. You don't need a lot of fats. You need some fats,
right.
Omega-3s, you know, the protein, you know, one of the reasons it's so important, not just because it builds muscle, but it regulates glucose, you know,
yeah.
It helps you build muscle mass. And I mean, I think you could probably, if you ate enough protein every day, you would probably just either maintain or you might even grow some.
Right.
You know, but some people have a hard time with, you know, getting enough protein. That's one of the issues I hear people talk about all the time. Doc, I just can't eat 100 grams of protein a day, or I can't eat 200 grams of protein a day.
Right.
And I understand that. That's a difficult thing to do. And if you're on a GLP and you're fasting, maybe you're only eating one meal a day, it's really impossible then. But you got to do what you can do. You got to make protein like a good quality protein, the primary source of caloric intake.
Yeah. I agree. When it comes to aging and it comes to muscle mass, you know, what should someone understand and the questions they should be asking before they ever have that conversation with their own doctor? Because you mentioned that, you know, people are losing muscle mass. I'm sure people are aware that they're losing muscle mass, but, you know, a lot of people that they don't do anything about it. Oh, well, I'm losing weight, you know, and they see their skin starting to sag a little bit because they're not getting enough of protein, or they might not be putting enough of exercise into their daily routine. You know, for people who, you know, are getting older, like what type of, you know, advice do you have for these people? People who are getting older that maybe want to lose weight because they need to, but they also have to take in consideration about the muscle mass. Once they start losing the weight, they have to, you know, really change their lifestyle a little bit, you know, to maintain or even to add on to their muscle.
I mean, there's other compounds that are helpful with that. I mean, like, you know, the aging process is really like it's signified, or it's the way that you look at it physiologically is just there's a decrease in the number of signaling molecules across the board. I mean, we see like testosterone production is really in the tank. Like it's been going down in men for decades. You know,
right.
Why is that? Well, I could get into a conversation about that, but it's sort of outside what we're talking about. So that's just one example. You know, the other thing is, you know, growth hormone. You know, you can use growth hormone stimulating analogs to give the patients a natural pulse of growth hormone, kind of like they did when they were younger.
Right.
And over time, if they do the work, that will benefit them, help protect their musculoskeletal system down the road. They really have to be willing and able to participate in an exercise program and be cognizant of, you know, how they're eating and do the things again that we talked about that are so foundational. But these things, you know, there are other molecules that help these patients. And growth hormone stimulating analogs are just one class of them.
Right. Now you work at the frontier of this field. So like, let's look ahead, you know, because this is generally very exciting. You talk about the next wave of metabolic, you know, medicine, you know, treatments beyond what is available today. So without getting into anything prescriptive, like what is generally on the horizon?
There's some really interesting molecules. They're myostatin inhibitors. They basically, you know, your body's a push-pull system, right? I mean, that's how it finds its balance. And we have, you know, you're constantly being broken down and repaired all the time.
Yeah.
If you inhibit the process or the enzymes that break down muscle, you could effectively build muscle easier, right?
Right.
So there is a class of molecules that are coming out that may at some point replace steroids altogether. And so those are being actively researched as we speak. So we expect to see, I mean, there is a couple of them that are already available as research compounds, but we are going to wait for the data to come out on that stuff first.
Now, are we heading toward a future where obesity and metabolic disease are treated very differently than they are today?
Well, I think, you know, people still have to they still have to participate in the weight loss. That's never going to change. You're not going to be successful if you don't. It doesn't matter how many drugs you throw at it or how many molecules you throw at it. You're going to have to be mindful and participate in your health to get there. I mean, will there be a molecule one day that just you take a, you know, you take a pill and then your weight problem, your metabolic problems go away? I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. You know, they keep coming out with new stuff all the time. So,
yeah.
I mean, the stuff that they're, you know, we have available to us today is remarkable.
Right.
So I'm not going to hold it past them, but I think that, you know, patients really to be healthy, they have to really take an actively healthy approach to lifestyle and I don't think we're meant to do things in extreme.
Right.
And get away with it. You know, the body's got a remarkable ability to like grow, you know, laterally if we keep, you know, eating too much. And that part, and it never ends. It can be, you know, it can be ongoing. It's not like filling up a gas tank, you know, whenever you get to the top, it comes out the spigot, and instead your body finds a way to like incorporate all those calories into your system. You know, I think that people, after this whole COVID era, have realized that they're not going to be able to rely on the healthcare system to take care of them any longer.
Right.
They're going to have to take an active role. They're going to have to start looking for things that can prevent disease. Mm-hmm. And that's what Meno, my company, and our team are all about. It's about serving the public and serving our first responders and helping them, giving them tools to help them get back their physical efficiency, their physical and mental efficiency and productivity, getting that back.
Yeah.
You know, helping them with their musculoskeletal pain, helping them overcome, you know, their metabolic disease, helping them overcome their brain fog and their low energy problems, and getting all that back. You know, you can actually feel like you did when you were 20. It's actually possible today. It's really an incredible time to be alive and an incredible time to be able to participate in and helping develop a new healthcare system that patients are all going to really benefit from.
I agree. Now, what excites you the most about where this is going?
Well, we think there's going to be a lot fewer surgeries. There's going to be a lot fewer acute illnesses. We think the days of the hospital being your source of primary care and the hospital emergency room ER is being your source of primary care, I think that's going to go away.
Yeah.
It's going to take a little time, but, I think, you know, the pharmaceutical industry overplayed their hand. I think that now that the cat's out of the bag with peptides, people are learning about them very quickly and learning about their potential benefits and how you can actually get in front of a problem before you break.
Right.
And I think that that's going to be the future of our healthcare system. We're going to be fixing things differently. You know, there's a technology that was developed in the early 1900s by a gentleman. His name is Royal Rife. And he developed something called the Rife machine. And that thing uses, you know, Tesla was the famous inventor, right? He believed that if you want to understand the universe, it's energy, frequency, and vibration.
Right.
And this guy, Royal Rife, developed this machine that targeted diseases based on their resonating frequencies. And what he discovered was you could destroy a disease using its resonating frequency, if you know what that resonating frequency is, without without damaging the surrounding tissue. And so that technology has been available for a very long time, but it was hidden from us.
Yeah.
And it's now getting a lot more, we're seeing it come up in a lot more applications today now, since the whole COVID thing happened. We're seeing like transmagnetic cranial stimulation for patients with depression and anxiety. What is that? That's energy, frequency, and vibration to cure.
Right.
And it's very effective. And it doesn't require medication. And we're seeing these guys are developing these ultrasonic devices that target tumors. You can find the resonating frequency of that tumor cell and you can destroy that. You can destroy it, focally destroy it, that tumor, all of it, without any damage to any surrounding tissue. And that makes a lot more sense to me than cutting, burning, or poisoning a patient to try to get the same result.
Yes.
Because you end up destroying the surrounding tissue with the radiation. They end up sick from that for years. Mm-hmm. You end up, you know, poisoning the patient, the entire body with chemotherapy.
Right.
Destroys end organs, destroys your peripheral nerves, destroys your kidneys. And then surgery, you know, surgery can be debilitating. And we thank God we have surgeons that know how to do these things and have these skills because we need them. But I think what we're looking at is a future where patients are a lot healthier and problems can be addressed before they become real problems. And so that's a lot brighter future for patients. It's a lot more promising than looking at your last 10 years cycling through the healthcare system as some sort of means of retirement. You know, it's I hate seeing that. I've seen it for 25 years. I worked in, you know, 25 years I've worked in the healthcare sector and in acute care and in post-acute care and watch these patients just cycle in and out. You know, they spend their retirement seeing doctors in their offices. That's their social life, you know?
Right.
It's a hell of a way to go to finish up.
It really is. And for the person who has struggled for years and feels like nothing has ever worked, what should that future give them hope about?
I would say to patients who feel hopeless, take some time and do some research. Because if the only place you're getting any information is from your physician, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yes.
Because the physicians only know what they know. They only know what they've been taught. They've been taught to sell drugs and surgeries, and that's okay. But unfortunately, it's not always the best answer. There's actually other solutions out there available, but you have to do your own research.
100%. And for the listeners out there, if you have been confused by all the noise around weight, metabolism, and these medications, this is the honest medical clarity you have been looking for. Follow the advisor with Stacey Chalemi right now Every week, we bring you real experts who cut through the hype and help you understand your own body. Now, this is the part I think matter, you know, the most for our listeners, safety. And I am so glad you are the one saying it. There is an entire underground world right now. People are buying compounds online, following protocols they found on Reddit, injecting things they ordered from a website with no physician oversight at all. As a board-certified physician who sees patients in a hospital, what generally worries you about that?
The problem with manufacturing direct to consumer, especially overseas, means that there's no regulation at all. And we've done our research, and that's really what brought us into this space, was realizing that, you know, and it's been said before, you hear it said a lot, it's the wild, wild west out there in the peptide world. People are buying from wherever they're buying from. And we spent a lot of time trying to reach these organizations that sell these things to have a conversation with them. And 95% of them, there was no one to talk to. And which told me a lot. And we also did our own research. We purchased these products, tried these products, you know, and did our own, you know, self experiments, and then we had these things tested, and you would be shocked at what you see or don't find in these vials, and so that's, you know, concerning to me, you know, because these things can actually be beneficial, but for you to make a purchase and pick something up and not really know exactly what you're putting into your body, I mean, your body's got a protective mechanism. It's called your GI, your gut, and your liver, and you're bypassing that, those two systems, and you're sending whatever's in those vials into your system, and that could be, those things could have, you know, lipopolysaccharides from E. coli. They could have heavy metal poisoning. They could have, you know, or they could have too much or even too little of the compound they're talking about, or it could just be not a compound at all. It could be just a bunch of filler. And we've seen that too.
Yeah.
So we realize the importance of that these molecules, you know, have the clinical application that these things can, is the number of clinical applications is amazing, but it has to be brought under control. And
right.
And so that's really what Mino is all about. We are the regulatory enforcer in the peptide space. So our peptides are manufactured stateside. All of our APIs are sourced stateside. We manufacture in an FDA approved 797 clean facility. And we build all of our own peptides. We put them, you know, we build the pens, we put them in these nice pen applications like the Wegovy pens. You know, all of our peptides come in pens, or they have vials available also, but the vials are mostly for B2B. So we don't sell to consumers. We sell right. directly. We sell to other businesses, other doctors' offices. We educate doctors on how to use these compounds, or we act as the medical infrastructure for other organizations that are interested in bringing peptide therapy to their clients. And we do the education. And so we think that, you know, once we manufacture these compounds, we send them to an FDA approved cold storage facility. And then everything is drop shipped directly to the patients, you know, on them. And we do follow up visits, and all these things are done through the care of a physician. So,
right.
And because these things can be dangerous, even though they're peptides and they're things that your body recognizes, too much of them or too little of them can be a problem if you mix them improperly. It could be a problem. That's why we developed the pen application, just
right.
sort of dumb it down a little bit, make it a little bit easier for patients. And
right.
even the pen is FDA approved. So we have done everything. We have really, really good legal representation. We've got, you know, some of the most recognized healthcare lawyers representing us and helping guide us through the regulatory process. And so we know that we are, you know, fully compliant, and we're generating pharmaceutical grade compounds. They're not research compounds. They're pharmaceutical grade. And we know what's in them. We build them. We put the stuff in there ourselves. So we know what's going in them. And so for that reason, we're confident that patients are going to get what they pay for. They're going to get a healthy, safe product that they can use to help improve their health, their overall health.
Right. I love that. And what would you say to the person listening who is tempted, you know, because they are desperate and, you know, it's cheaper online and everybody online says it's work?
I would say that time is coming to a close. You know, the current administration has already made it very clear that research peptides being sold direct to consumers is about to become a thing of the past. So I encourage you to start looking for a better alternative. And if you continue to find a way to work around that and to continue to find a way to purchase your compounds from somebody that's making them in the garage, then good luck. I don't recommend it, but you understand the risks.
Right.
One of the things we're concerned about, you know, there's peptide company people or manufacturers of fentanyl that are making peptides in China, and we think that there's like significant risk for cross reactivity, you know, cross contamination, and you know, they're selling, you know, white powder to people in the United States. They're coming across, you know, customs, and you got a bag of white powder. It's just a matter of time before something happens and somebody does something and puts the wrong thing in the wrong thing. And, you know, and you end up getting a bunch of people that either get hurt or killed. And that's going to be the end of it.
Right.
And so I think, so before that happens, you know, we're acting now.
Yes.
You know, that's the reason that we're doing what we're doing. We don't want to see people get hurt. We want access to these compounds because they're amazing. And we want patients to have access to these safe and effective compounds. And so, again, that's why Amino exists.
I love that. And for the person listening who feel like they have tried everything and nothing works and they are ready to give up on their own body, what do you say to them?
Come talk to me. Come have a conversation. Let's have a conversation. I think you'll be surprised what we can accomplish. Sometimes patients need help. They need some guidance. You know, we all have a meat suit that we have to live in life.
Right.
You know, if you and the meat suit are at war, it's not going to go well. You
know? Right. Exactly. And you are a physician who sees patients on the hospital floor, and you also work at the cutting edge of where medicine is going. You see both the reality and the future. So what do you most want people to understand about their bodies and about the hype and the headlines and about what truly is possible when they finally get real, honest, evidence-based care?
I'll tell you, Stacy, I think that the future of healthcare really is regenerative medicine. I think that that's, you know, we have, you know, we don't just do peptides at Mino. We also do, we have a pharmacy of exosome products and stem cells that we use to actually replace tissue and aid in acute injuries or acute or even chronic injuries. We like the marriage of, you know, a stem cell, a pluripotent cell that can turn into any type of tissue, being that. And so that's called tissue replacement. We can actually replace tissue, grow new tissue, and then we can enhance the signaling within the tissue with the peptides. So we think it's a beautiful marriage. And we believe that, you know, and there's a lot of other technologies out there that are coming out now. It's really amazing what's happening. It's, like I said, a revolution in healthcare right now. Patients are going to be, or they're going to have access to these things, these tools, and there's going to be a lot more opportunity for them to live a healthier, more productive life than in the past.
That. I love that. Now, can you tell people a little bit more about your services, all the different things that you provide and where they can find you?
Sure. Name of our company is Mino, M-I-N-O, because of the amino acids that peptides are made out of. And we're located, we have an office in Paramus, New Jersey. And we do 90% of our work. We do via telehealth. And if you're interested in learning more about us, our website is called Mino.inc. And, there's a place for you to, if you're interested in speaking with me or one of our providers, you can fill out an intake and one of our team will be happy to reach out to you and see if we can schedule you for an onboarding. And I think we can make significant improvements in your quality of life. And I feel really blessed to be in a position that I am.
I love it. And for the listeners out there, it turns out that answers that we all are looking for are not in the headlines, not the hype or the internet rabbit holes. They are the real science, real medicine, and real physicians who tell us the truth. Dr. Brandon Howard gave us exactly that today. Honest clarity about our bodies, our metabolism, our health, and where medicine is generally headed. Dr. Howard, thank you so much for being on the show today. And I'm really honored that you came on and, you know, and shared today what so many people are interested, but a lot of times because there's so much different information out there, they get very confused on what's true, what's not, what's good, what's bad. And today you brought that all down to the surface and you shared and helped people understand what they can do to actually help their overall health and change their lives. So I thank you so much for coming on the show today. And if this conversation brought you clarity, share it with someone who has been struggling and blaming themselves. They deserve to hear the truth. And once again, thank you so much for being on the show. You are amazing.
Thank you, Stacey. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
I really enjoyed it. You're very welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.